Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and when I was 15 years old, I fell in love with a belt, sort of. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I have a lot of questions. Mostly because how do I not know this story?
Yeah, how
presumably
do you
presumably it's
not
a leather belt.
Of course, yeah.
Right, so how do you have a leather story that you have not shared with me?
Okay, yeah. This is the interesting thing, is that I was not kinky back then and didn't know
a lot about kink.
And so I think I didn't conceptualize it as a kink feeling until like a decade later.
Okay, makes sense.
But basically what happened was I was 15 and I was in a thrift store and I was looking around and I saw this leather belt. It's like sort of a wine brown leather. It's really, really beautiful vintage belt, and I picked it up and I just had a feeling about it. I interpreted it as like a romantic feeling. That's how it felt to me in the moment. Like, it sort of reminded me of like gentlemanly butches, which was very much my type at the time, still TBH, although I mostly yeah. date cis dudes at this point, but I just was very reminded of, like, seeing butches wear this type of belt, and it also made me think about cocks, which I guess I should have known. It was a sexual feeling, but I was looking at this belt. I was like, I'm probably not going to wear this. It doesn't really fit into my style. I don't really own anything brown, but I couldn't leave it there. I had to take it home. I just felt this sense of urgency about it. And I still fucking have it. It's 10 years later or more, and it's I just found it today again in my kink drawer, and was practicing using it for spanking purposes. I just haven't been able to let go of it, because I guess it's a fetish object.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you been hit with this?
I have not, and I would like to, and my partner listens to our show, and hopefully right now he's listening to this and making a note somewhere.
The note has already been made at this point. You've been talking about it for how many minutes now?
Yeah, we definitely pulled up the old notes app for that one. Yeah, I think it's time. It's been a decade.
Yeah, probably. How, like, is it a good spanking belt? I'm picturing something really thin.
Do you want me to actually show you? I won't leave
yes,
this in the show.
Yes, obviously.
But, yeah. It's got these, like, roses engraved into it, and
yeah.
It's just, like, really sexy, like, well-worn leather.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah, that's hot.
It just feels good in the hand. I still, even now, I have some, like, kind of romantic feelings about it, and I don't really know what that is. I've never really felt that with another object. It's very strange to me.
Yeah.
So we're talking today about fetish objects. And I'm wondering, Bex, do you have any fetish objects?
Nothing in the way you do with the belt, where it's, like, this specific one I feel a very specific way about.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely objects that I find sexy. I don't know that I would say I fetishize them. Like, I wouldn't hang on to those fetishes as an identity the way I do some of my other kinks.
Right.
But it's definitely on the, like, tertiary edges of my kinks, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that we should take a moment to explain, like, in kink language, there's often a differentiation between fetishes and kinks. And the definition I've commonly seen is that if a thing is a fetish for you, you need to either be doing it or having it in your vicinity or perhaps thinking about it in order to reach orgasm, or it needs to be included in your sex or you're not going to enjoy the sex. So, for example, the writer Gillian Keenan has a spanking fetish. She says that she's literally never jerked off thinking about or reached orgasm thinking about anything but spanking in her life. Whereas people usually use kinks to mean more like a less pressing interest than that, which can range from, like, you're very, very into the thing to just, like, you're kind of into it. But I think when we're talking about fetish objects in this context, we're not necessarily using them in the like, true fetish sense.
Well, that's the other thing. There's often the distinction between fetish as being for, like, more of an object, whereas kinks tend to be more for activities in just linguistically in the scene. I think you hear a lot as well.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense. Do you have any early memories of, like, encountering the idea of a fetish object?
Nothing in particular, but I've always been, even as a kid, a person who really enjoyed ritual and, like, intention setting around things. So I would definitely, I would take objects and give them a kind of weight to them in that way, which wasn't necessarily sexual, but still a kind of reverence around an object or giving more meaning to it and that kind of thing. And I did a lot of that growing up and still do occasionally.
Do you have any examples of that? I'm curious about that.
Like for myself right now, I have a cuff that you gave me, actually, that I've been wearing every day as kind of a reminder for this. I talked about it a lot last week, but this, like, intentional exploration of my kink and my submission and that sort of thing. And I've kind of tied all of that intention and all of that emotion and everything I'm going for in that into these two little straps of leather that are around my wrist. But it kind of makes it more physical for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I think of them as, like reminders of something that's important to you. I have stuff like that too. Like, I have a collection of heart necklaces, and every time I wear them, it's sort of like an intentional reminder of my dedication to self-love and self-compassion. And then also I have all these, like, pieces of jewelry that are blue topaz, which is the crystal associated with writing. And I would often put them on when I had a big draft or a big deadline coming up so that I would be reminded that I was, like, trying to focus on my writing. But I don't know that I have, like, sexy feelings about any of those things necessarily, but I do think, like, fetish objects or items that we're using in that way can also be reminders in the same sense of, like,
yeah,
what you're going for and, like, what your intention is, whether it's in a scene or, you know, like you walking around with the cuff on.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, like, when I have felt sexy feelings about objects, it has been more around that, like, meaning given to them, especially if it's a specific object. Like, boots in general are sexy, but, like, a specific pair of boots might have more weight because of all of that meaning around it or whatever.
Right. I want to talk to you more about boots in a few minutes.
Did you also hear that thing your voice just did right there?
No. What did it do?
You just had some feelings about boots.
Oh, I mean, yeah, obviously. This is a known fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. My earliest memory of the concept of fetish objects was I was listening to Violet Blue's podcast, Open Source Sex, when I was quite young, too young to be listening to such things. And she, if I recall correctly, has a corset fetish. And she told this story about the first time that she ever put a corset on after, like, kind of obsessing over them and being really into them. And she finally got one and she rushed home and she put it on and she laced herself into it. And she described, like, as soon as she put it on, she was instantly so turned on that she had to masturbate, like, immediately. And I remember thinking when I listened to that, that I, like, I thought I was vanilla at the time. And I remember thinking, like, I wish that I had kinks or fetishes, because it seems like people who have them have this, like, extreme intensity of feeling about the thing that they're into. And I felt like I didn't have that level of, like, passion and intensity in my sexuality. But, of course, then I later learned that I am kinky, so.
Yeah. I always find it interesting, just as a sidebar, looking back to, like, childhood stuff and all those times where you're like, man, I wish I could be like that, because that's so cool. And then you realize that it's not just so cool, it's just what you are. Like, other kids aren't sitting around at home being like, God, I wish I was kinky.
Yeah, I was really, really interested in queer women, like, particularly bisexual women, with a certain type of aesthetic that still is, like, a pretty ideal aesthetic for me. I was, like, very fascinated by Olivia Wilde on The OC, and I was just like, that's so cool that she's bi and out, and turns out I am also bi. Whoops.
Yeah, it's like, ah, yes, makes sense now.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that are sort of fetishistic objects for us. Do you want to talk about boots?
Boots are so good.
Okay, is it leather boots specifically for you?
Yes.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, men's leather boots.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, even on people who are not men?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good.
But, like, I mean, so, like, yeah, a pair of high-heeled boots are hot, but, like, not in the same way.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of your boot feelings are, like, getting stomped on or getting kicked and that kind of thing. And, like, men's boots tend to be heftier and kind of allow more for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, like, it's more... A lot of my boot feelings are tied to masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that gritty filthiness that can come with it. Whereas the fetish of, like, a high-heeled boot is more in this, like, untouchable, elegant, almost, kind of way.
Yeah. Like an impervious femdom kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah, this almost, like, regal dominance.
Right.
Which is a very different energy, even if it's still a leather boot.
Yeah.
Or at least how it feels to me.
Men's boots are historically associated with, like, the military and, like, gay male leather culture and a lot of other cultures that are sexy or could be sexy.
Yeah, and a lot of other cultures that are my thing. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I was just reading the second book in the Marketplace series by Laura Antonio, and there is a scene where a slave trainer has his trainee sit so that she's straddling his leather boot and, like, hump it until she comes, and she only is given 3 minutes to do this, and he's, like, watching his watch the entire time. And I had so many feelings about this. I was like, I already knew that I had feelings about boots, but I read this and I was like, holy fuck. Like, that's a lot.
Yep. I have, I had a dominant who had me jerk off onto his boots. So that was a thing. And then wear them for the rest of the day. They didn't really fit me either, so they were like, a little bit too heavy and made me, like, a little bit awkward when I walked, like, a little more prone to stumbling or whatever, so I couldn't forget that I was wearing them the whole time.
Mm. Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't... They weren't ridiculous enough that they looked silly on me. Like, it wasn't, like, Goofy's shoes or whatever. But it was enough that I had to be conscious of them the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Felt some ways about all of that.
Yep, yep. I really enjoy wearing boots as, like, kind of a kink thing, although I don't often think of it as such. But, like, I have, like, a very femme style, and I often wear dresses, and I really like the kind of, like, the contrast between, like, light, floaty feminine dresses and these, like, really stompy boots. I'm very into, like leather, like, fry boots or cowboy boots, and I've always liked wearing them ever since I was in high school, and, like, recently, my beloved pair of harness boots from Fry, like, broke, and the cobbler told me they were unfixable, and I was so sad. Like, no. I felt really, like, intimately, emotionally connected to these boots. I guess I'm kinky. I know that we've also both had a lot of feelings about boot blacking.
Yeah,
which is sort of a whole other kink, and, like, probably deserves its own episode at some point, but...
Yeah. For me, that comes a lot, like... It's just the perfect meeting of all of my leather feelings and all of my service feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing I liked about boot blacking, I should explain, actually, for folks who don't know, boot blacking is the process of, like, cleaning and shining and taking care of people's boots. You can do it in kink contexts and also in non-kink contexts, but there is, like, a big culture around it in the kink space.
Yeah, living in New York City is wild because there are just, like, boot black stands all over the place.
Yeah.
And I just walk past them and I'm like, y'all just out here doing this. Like, fucking Madison Square Park. And then I have to remember.
The unicorn collaborators who made the cuff that you're wearing are doing a pop-up shop at the Seduction sex shop here in Toronto soon, and one of them is a boot black, and he's going to set up a boot black stand, and I've never had my boots blacked, and I'm so excited.
Yay! I had my boots blacked once at a sex party.
Mm-hmm.
And the person, like, called me over and was like, do you want me to black your boots? And I was like, I mean, I'm not a top. And he was like, that's fine, come on. And I was like, all right. And I, like, sat down, put my feet in the thing, and immediately leaned over as far forward as I could to be like, so what are you gonna do? How does this work? Is there anything I can help you with? Do you need me to hold anything? How's it? You doing all right down there?
So good. I really liked, I've done it on my partner 2 or 3 times. He has, like, nice fancy boy leather shoes that he'll have me shine up. And I really liked that it put me in a very specific type of subspace. Like, it was very almost trancey because, like, I'm familiar with the process because I've cleaned and shined my own boots a lot of times. So I didn't really have to think about the process too much. I was just really focused on, like, making sure I shined every part of the boot and got them, like, really clean and looking really good. So I was very, very focused, and I also completely knew what the parameters of the task were, so I didn't have to worry, like, am I doing this right? Am I, you know, fulfilling my function well enough? And so I really just, like, floated off in my own head with the kind of repetitive nature of the task, and felt very, very servicey and subby. It was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I really want, like, I would like to be able to do it for a dominant, as an act of service, but I really like the idea of being able to do it at, like, events and parties and things, because mm-hmm. it gives me a purpose there and a reason to talk to anyone else at the event.
Yeah.
Which I find really, really valuable, especially at kink events.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we talked about boots. What else is on your list of fetish objects?
I've noticed that I'm very into white t-shirts. It seems almost boring. Like, basic. You see white t-shirts fetishized a lot in sort of, like, I think of, like, Girls Gone Wild wet t-shirt contest type of situations. They can be, like, sort of see-through. But that's not where my interest is, 'cause I'm predominantly attracted to masculine folks. I think it's, like, I always notice that I think my partner looks super, super hot in white t-shirts. And I think it's because he's usually dressed more formally than that. And I can, like, when I see him not formal, it feels different enough that it is, like, hot to me. Which, like, I've heard a lot of people say that, like, someone who usually dresses fancy dressed casual, or someone who usually dresses casual dressed fancy, can both be a huge turn on. And I've definitely found that to be true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I find that really interesting because I've been reading a lot on leather culture history, and I was reading recently about leather t-shirts being associated with leather boys and submission, because in, like, way back in the day when it was more expensive to dye fabric, the lower ranking folks in the military got white t-shirts, and then higher up were able to get the colors because it was more expensive. So I think so. That's just super interesting to me, having you talk about it right after, like, I read that, like, 2 days ago.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm mostly into it on dominance. There's something about it that's, like, really confident. Like, they don't have to dress up or put on anything in particular in order to, like, have mastery over me. But also, like, yeah. With t-shirts, you get, they're, like, soft, usually, and you get all the smells that come with a t-shirt. Like, whether it's someone's sweat or their cologne or whatever, and I get really pervy about certain people's smells, and my partner has started doing this thing where, like, when we're having sex, sometimes he'll take his shirt off and throw it onto my face, and it... It gives me kind of, like, humiliation sub feelings, because I know that he's doing it because he knows I'm going to perv over his smell, and that just makes me, like, feel kind of embarrassed, but, like, also I'm into it. It's really great. Relatable. When I'm, like, tied down.
Kind of embarrassed, but also really into it. Story yep. of our lives.
Yep. On that note, though, I know that we both have a lot of feelings about suits.
Yes, they're just, they're so good, and I really want one.
Yeah, you should get one. Yeah. You look so dapper and good.
Yeah, I have to get, the problem is, I need to get shirts tailored.
Mm.
So yeah. It's just, it's a lot of work to get fancy.
Yeah,
makes sense. I think I might, once I get top surgery, I think I might get something really nice and fitted.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
What is hot about suits? Everything.
All of it. So much. So honestly, I just find any well put together outfit really, really attractive. Like someone who clearly put intention into what they're wearing. Mm-hmm. But something about suits, they're just, they convey a certain style of dominance. Mm-hmm. And also, I have a lot of class feelings about them, which I'm just realizing now.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, I'm real, they're, like, I haven't had someone who, like, has to wear a suit to work.
Yeah.
In my immediate vicinity. My dad does now, but, like, didn't growing up. So, like, I don't see suits outside of, like, weddings and funerals and, like...
Right.
Like, they weren't in my immediate circle.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, the novelty of that and, like, this... I think class feelings bring up subby feelings, and I don't know how I feel about that. but, yeah.
Yeah, understandable. Kink is well, just a capitalism. Psychological mess sometimes. It yep. really is just, like, dump in all the feelings you've ever had and mix them up in a cauldron.
Yeah.
And that's your kinks.
yeah.
That's really interesting that you say you have feelings about them because you haven't encountered them that much. Because I think I probably have feelings about them because I have encountered them in, like, a lot of, like, professors and teachers that I've had have worn suits. Yeah. So I encountered them a lot during, like, really formative years for particularly my attraction to dominant men.
Wait, and people wore suits to school?
Occasionally, yeah. Some of them did. I actually, like, my first ever, like, formative daddy dom types of feelings were toward a lawyer who would come and teach us about journalism and law. And he would come straight from his, like, lawyer job. So he was always wearing a suit. And he always looked very well put together. And I just found my mind wandering whenever I would look at him. Like, it was weird because, like, I didn't even necessarily find him that attractive as a person. Like, he was whatever to me. But it was like, the thought of, like, this... lawyer who, like, knew his shit and was really smart and competent and was wearing this, like, really classy looking nice suit every time. It was just, like, kind of an archetypal iconic image of masculinity and competence and dominance, and I just felt a lot of ways about it.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I also think, like, suits are when you first put them on and you're all put together, like, they're very, like, composed, and then if someone starts to get into a situation, like maybe a sexy situation where they're getting sweaty and riled up and stuff, they might have to, like, take the jacket off, loosen the tie, unbutton some buttons. So there's this sense of, like, composure or lack thereof, depending on what the suit looks like.
Yeah.
Like, when sleeves get rolled up, I'm a fucking mess over here.
It's weirdly hot, isn't it? Like, I've talked to a lot of people about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know whether to write that on my list when I was making notes for this show, because it isn't really an object, because it's not the sleeves or really the cuffs that are turning me on. And it's not even really the forearms. Like, I love a good forearm, but there is something about the sleeve rolled up to reveal the forearm that makes all of the elements so much hotter in tandem.
Yeah, I don't... It agreed. it's like equally hot to, like, someone pulling off their shirt in the middle of beating you because they're overheating.
Yes.
Like, hits all the same buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my partner wears a watch most of the time, and when stuff's really, we're getting into it, he'll slowly and carefully take the watch off and sometimes hand it to me to put it on the bedside table, and I'm like, oh wow, shit's popping off now. That's so good. Another thing on my list is pantyhose, and it is super weird to me that there are multiple, like, feet related things on this list, because I definitely don't have a foot kink. I have no sexual interest in feet, really. But, like, stuff like this keeps coming up, and I think it's because of the psychological power in our sort of cultural psyches associated with, like, stepping on someone or walking all over them or certain types of footwear or certain types of, like, fashion cues just, like, signal certain things about a person. Yeah, I don't really know what's up with that.
So what is it about them, though? Is it, like, wearing them? Is it someone else wearing them?
Yeah, so I think it's wearing them, and I also really like to look at them on, like, feminine people. They just give me sexy feelings. I remember, like, the first time I realized this, my day job is, like, in an adult industry social media company, and so I have to, like, look at a lot of porn clips and, like, write tweets about them and stuff. And I've never been that into foot jobs, even though, like, I've dated a number of people who had a foot kink, and so, like, theoretically it should have come up, but, like, I don't know. I've never really had any feelings about them particularly. But then I was watching this clip that for my day job, and it was a foot job where the cock had a foreskin and the feet were in pantyhose. And I was looking at this and I was like, shit, why am I suddenly so into this? Like, I wanted to watch the whole clip. It just looked so good. 'Cause I love foreskin, first of all. They're like pantyhose for your dick. weird.
Definitely weird. Yep.
As soon as I said that, I was like, why did I say that? Yeah, well, I think, like, I really like the ones that, like, match your skin tone, because it's sort of like your own skin, but it has this sort of smoother, sexier texture to it. And I have sort of feelings about, like, the feeling of it gliding along something or how smooth it is.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, like, it's tough because, like, I'm not usually attracted to feminine people, so I don't know when I would even, like, incorporate this. And, like, the thought of masculine people in pantyhose, like, doesn't really do it for me. It's almost like I just enjoy the visual, but I don't know really what I would do beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I've felt that way about, like, I felt that way about boots for a little bit. Where I'm like, that is just objectively sexy. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say, I find that so interesting, because I know a lot of people have those feelings about pantyhose and stuff. And for me, growing up, I, like, touching it felt like nails on a chalkboard sounds. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I, like, it's so interesting to me for something that is so, like, uncomfortable to me to feel, like, so good for other people. I'm just like, tell me all of it.
I think also there's, like, always kind of a, or there can be, like, a sexual charge to wearing something that makes you feel more in line with your gender. Like, obviously trans folks know this. But even for cis folks, that can be really true too. And, like, I have, I grew up consuming stuff like Suicide Girls and, like, vintage pinup photos and stuff. So even though that type of, like, rockabilly style is not really a part of my everyday style, because for me it's, like, too high effort most of the time, I still feel, like, super sexy when I do incorporate it, because it's just very much, like, drilled into my ideal gender expression, even if it's not my actual gender expression, if that makes sense.
So I think for a lot of us, for a lot of the stuff we've talked about so far, our fetishes are kind of more broad ideas of things we find hot. Do you have any, like, specific scenes that you've done with fetish objects?
So this is not, like, my kink, but I, a couple of times, have spanked people with a Bible that was from, like, the bedside table in a hotel. And I've known people who have a lot of fetishy feelings about that, or feelings of, like, conquering their religious upbringing that they no longer agree with and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I also know people who were raised religious and, like, don't identify that way anymore, but still will not touch that religious imagery in their kink or sex play because, like, it feels too close to childhood, or it feels somehow disrespectful even if they don't believe it in anymore. I just find that really interesting. Bibles make for a great spanking tool.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I just like that they're thuddy and accessible in hotel rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I'm a punk, so sacrilegious stuff. Just, just makes 14-year-old me so happy. Like, salty little 14-year-old me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I really enjoy, actually, like, the kind of mental aspect of being spanked with books. Especially because, like, I love a lot of sort of teacher-student role plays or that kind of thing where they actually are relevant to the scene, potentially. But I thought for a while that, like, my ideal book to get spanked with would be Lolita, but, like, I would want a really nice edition of it. I think I would want, like, a pink leather-bound one, which I have not been able to find so far. But maybe one day I will make my dream
one day.
Function. Yeah.
We'll commission one just for you.
What kinds of scenes would you like to do with fetish objects?
I like the idea of doing a scene around an object that I could then carry with me.
Ooh.
To some kind of, similarly to the way collars can work, but some sort of talisman or something that's imbued with some sort of something from a dynamic that I have or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, magic and shit. but I like the idea of having that kind of talisman and kind of a reminder. So I would like to do more of that with someone.
I love those too, like, especially now being in a long distance relationship, because, like, my partner will leave, but, like, I still have that thing. Sometimes it's like a bruise or a bite mark, but sometimes it is like a physical object that I'm walking around with, and it just makes me feel very happily reminiscent about that scene, you know, days or weeks or months later.
Yeah. I also would like to do more like leather care kind of service stuff. Around caring for something that is important to a dominant. Typically, like, I'm imagining leather, but it actually doesn't have to be. But just kind of ritualistically caring for an object.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that aspect of boot blacking, too, because, like, I was conscious that these were, like, quite fancy, expensive shoes that I was doing stuff to, and that there is trust involved in that. Like, my partner was trusting me to not fuck up his fancy shoes. And so the stakes were high, like, perhaps higher than they would be if we were just doing stuff with our bodies. Like, when there's an object involved, like, you could actually ruin that object. I guess you could ruin your body, too. But
yeah, bodies are more resilient.
Yeah. I used to watch a lot of porn that Tina Horn was in. She's still, like, one of my favorite porn stars. And I used to notice that, like, in a lot of her scenes, she would be wearing boots and she would leave them on the entire time, even if she took everything else off. And I love that. And I don't really know what her reasoning is for that, but there have been times when I've wanted to do that because boots, like, imbue me with a confidence that I really enjoy. I think it would be really fun for scenes where I'm playing more of a dominant role because I can often find it hard to get into that headspace. So, like, little cues like that can be helpful.
Yeah, I love that this is the fetish object episode, and it's really just the leather boots episode.
I love them so much.
I'm curious, though, how you'd feel about a partner wanting to incorporate a new, like, a fetish object with you, something that, like, you hadn't previously seen as sexual. Like, how would you approach that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like, I've been through a lot of things in my sex life where I didn't inherently find them sexy, and then I sort of associated them with sexual stimuli over time, including even, like, G-spot stimulation, like, butt stuff. Like, a lot of these things are things that, like, were not originally pleasurable to me, but, like, I paired them with things that I already found pleasurable and did it that way. So, like, if I wanted to get more into leather boots than I already am, I don't know why I would do that, but, I mean, I could have a partner kick my ass with them, which, like, I've done that before. I know I enjoy that. Or I could, you know, be instructed to lick them while I'm using a vibrator on myself or something.
That's literally what I was just thinking. Anyway, yes. Go on.
Yeah, because I think, like, in my experience, you can sexualize almost anything, especially if you're with a partner who you're really into and really enthusiastic about and you want to please. And so, as long as it wasn't an object that I, like, felt ethically gross about or thought was gross for whatever reason, like, I think I could find a way to get into it.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy the idea of playing with folks who have fetishes like that, because I really love the idea of, in the same way, I think, that I like the idea of creating a talisman for myself within a relationship. It kind of hits the same feelings for me in that this can be a thing that can be worn in public or walked around with or, you know, mentioned without raising any eyebrows, but I can know I'm still turning that person on.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a really, really fun dynamic for me, and I think what I find most interesting about fetishes and fetish objects and, like, why I really enjoy playing with folks who have them.
Yeah, because a lot of times, especially when you're playing with someone new, it can be hard to know what they're going to like. And I'm very, like, service-y, so I really like to know what people like. And I always used to get frustrated when I would ask the vanilla people I was dating, like, how should I dress for this date? Like, how would you like me to look when we get together? Because they would tend to be like, just wear whatever makes you feel comfortable. Just wear whatever you feel beautiful in, which is a nice answer for a vanilla person. Yeah. Or for somebody who doesn't have these kinks. But, like, I really enjoy the service-y aspect of, like, wearing what someone will really like me in. And I think one of my first memories of doing that, actually, was when we had a threesome with my, at the time, friend with benefits, who had a slightly fetishistic fondness for, like, rainbow thigh-high socks.
I forgot we did that.
And I think we both wore them,
right? We both wore them, yeah.
Yeah, they looked cute as fuck on us.
Yeah, obviously.
But that was, like, such a simple instruction, because, like, with people who don't have these types of fetish objects, like, a lot of times it's, like, a lot of guesswork, and you just, like, cobble together, like, what you think they might like over time. But if it's, like, a very clear thing like that, like, I feel so good being able to fulfill that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I've played a lot with, like, my partner's t-shirt being over my face and stuff, and, like, he's into panties, which is a whole other interesting discussion, but I think that it would be cool to take all of that stuff to the next level by being gagged with one of those things. Mm. I just played with a ball gag for the first time ever in my life recently. I don't know why it took me this long to get around to using a ball gag.
But yeah, I've never actually done a scene with one. I'm fairly certain I probably owned one. I think I've had one in my mouth.
See, I had owned one for like a year or two, and I had never used it because I was always a little bit scared of it, but
I have a bit gag. That's what I have. I don't have a ball gag. But
yeah. Yeah, I think it would be fun to have something stuffed in my mouth, even if it was just, like, my own underwear. Because there's a lot of, like, shame and humiliation types of feelings built into that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would enjoy my own underwear more than, I think, like, a bit gag or a ball gag.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone else's underwear or whatever.
Yeah.
Just because it's more of a, like, degrading thing. And it's also more a, like, haphazard. I like the combination of, I need you to shut the fuck up and I need to get this out of my hand and out of the way so this solves both problems.
Yes.
Kind of attitude that comes with gagging someone with their own underwear.
Mm-hmm.
That you just don't get with a ball gag.
Yep.
You know?
There's just layers there, yeah.
I'm glad you understand me.
Yeah, absolutely. Similarly, when I've done boot blacking, I usually, like, I need a tool, I need some kind of, like, fabric with which to wipe away the saddle soap before I proceed to the moisturizing step, and I started using my own underwear to do that, because I wear a lot of MeUndies, which are, like, really soft modal, and I found that they would take the saddle soap off, like, really completely and really smoothly, and I just really liked how they felt when I would do that. But I was very aware, like, even though it wasn't really my kink, I was like, wow, I'm, like, taking my own used underwear out of my laundry hamper with which to clean my partner's shoes. Like, this is some very kinky shit.
That is some kinky shit, yeah. Every time I turn a shirt into a crop top, the bottom half becomes a boot blacking rag.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How many times have you done that?
Quite a few. I'm very gay. I have a lot of crop tops.
I have this photo that I love from a past relationship. It was not really a good relationship, but I still look back on this photo with fondness because my partner at the time slept over at my house, and then he forgot like a number of possessions at my house. So I arranged them all and took a photo to send him to be like, you forgot all this shit at my house. But it was a red and black striped necktie, his glasses, which were the thing that he needed back the most, and a leather, like black leather wrist cuff. And together I was like, fuck, this is kind of my dream partner in a tableau. But I love that. I think like those are like my most fetishistic objects are like ones that just remind me of a person or a certain type of person. They just feel like imbued with some kind of essence, whether it's a literal like smells like the person or it's just like it reminds me very much of a person. That's very hot to me.
Yeah. Oof, stuff that smells like people, though. So good.
Yeah. I mean, we could and should do a whole episode about smells because it's a thing. Yeah.
I feel so many ways about it now. I'm so much more intensely impacted by smells post-testosterone than I ever was before, but that's a whole other show.
Okay, so this is about fetish objects and smells. I was recently sent a latex skirt by a company that wants me to review it, and I've never worn latex clothing before, and it's like a huge fetish for a lot of people. I was interested in it. The skirt's really cute. It looks really great on me. But it smells so strongly of latex.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have guessed because it's literally made of latex. But I took it out and it was like someone had opened like 100 condoms right in front of my face all at once. It was a bit much. I had to burn some incense in my room after that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
I do, like, I tried latex once for a custom video someone bought, and I was, like, weirdly into how it felt on my body.
Mm.
But, like, it's expensive and a lot of upkeep, and I could see it feeling weird after a long period of time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I could see feeling lots of ways.
The skirt I have is, like, a fit and flare, like, skater skirt type of shape, so it's, like, fitted at the waist, and then it flares out, so very little of the latex is actually touching my skin. So I don't have that kind of, like, restrained, held-in feeling that I know a lot of people enjoy about latex.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so far, I don't think it's my kink, but, like, I'm interested in maybe trying more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along those lines, are there any, like, common fetish objects that you just can't get into?
Like masks.
Okay.
I don't fuck with masks.
Like at all?
At all.
Not even like puppy play masks?
Nah. I don't like them.
Why?
Like they feel really uncomfortable on me and like too restrictive. And they like wig me out. Which like I can do all kinds of other bondage and shit, but like don't put shit on my face. Like I don't even like blindfolds. Like don't.
Oh, interesting.
Leave my fucking face alone. And it weirds me out having other people in them. Like, live your life, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm just low-key on edge around anyone in, like, masks like that. I think it's for the same reasons people get squicked out by clowns, in that you can't see their facial expression.
Right.
But yeah, I don't, like, I know it's kinky. Like, I know it's a big part of a lot of people's kinks, and a lot of people just like them because... for anonymous reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
But they wig me out. I don't fuck with masks.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Although, furry masks don't wig me out.
Hmm.
That's fine. I think because there's, like, space in there.
Yeah, okay, that makes
like,
sense.
Like, it's not, like, squished up and covering your face, like...
Right, it's not as claustrophobic.
Yeah, and it is a face.
Right.
Like... It's not like it's not like this like stretched out leather blankness, you know?
Yeah.
So that I don't find that as unsettling.
Hmm. I was sent a few years ago. I was sent one of those like posture collars to review. Which, if you've never seen them, they're like a collar, but they're taller, a taller collar. That's what we call them in the biz. and they're supposed to like keep your head. Like centered on your neck basically and provide some kind of like bondagey restrictive feeling, And it's weird because, like, I have a lot of bondage kink feelings. I really enjoy the feeling of being restrained and being held down and whatnot, but I could not stand wearing this fucking posture collar. I ended up trading it away to another kinkster for some raspberry beers because I was like, get this out of my house. It was just, like, I felt claustrophobic. Like, I felt, like, too contained, and I didn't have any, like, range of motion with my head, which I know is the point, but I was like, I need that. I want that. Got panicky. Not my fave. I also, like, so many people have feelings about heels, and, like, as femme as I am, I've never been able to get into heels. Like, I'll wear them from the walk to the door to my bed. That's about as far as I ever want to wear heels, because, like, I sort of a little bit like the submissive feeling of not being able to walk very quickly or very far. I like kind of the helplessness of that, but the pain and discomfort of wearing them is, for me, not worth it. For that, I'd rather just wear my boots. Thank you.
I used to like wearing them because of masochism and hypersexualization feelings. But the combination of just, like, being in pain to look super sexy and be almost objectified, because that's a whole other thing if we want to get into that. People as fetish objects.
Ooh.
Whole other thing.
Yeah.
That I feel very many complicated ways about. So I enjoyed heels from that aspect, and I do like the way heels look, but I don't, like, they're not super big part of my fetishes, in just that, like, there's no way that I find sexy to engage with them. Like, they look really hot. But, like, I don't want to be kicked or stepped on with them in the same way I do with boots. And, like, I'm not going to black them. I guess I could lick them. Like, I could fillet a heel. That could be hot. But, like...
Yeah, I've had, like, partners with foot fetishes offer to take me shopping for heels and stuff like that. And I always was like, that's nice. But, like, I would rather, if you're going to buy me something, that you buy me something I will actually wear and enjoy. Yeah, because I feel like there's an expectation of, like, if they were just buying it for their own pleasure and they knew that and that was the deal, that would be okay. But I feel like there's an expectation of, like, you need to wear these and you need to like them and incorporate them into your wardrobe and stuff. And I'm just like, I'm never going to fucking do that. Sorry.
Yeah, that's real.
Yep. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dildorks. I hope you learned something, because that was our objective.
Nope. I'll only allow it because I have to go get to the bread. We don't have time for a second take. It's going in.
I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together we're the Dildorks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks or at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It brings us up in the charts, makes us easier for other sex nerds to find, and makes me smile. And if you want to support us even a little bit more, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks to toss a couple bucks our way and help us keep doing what we're doing.
Thank you to Protodome, who did our theme song. It's called I Want You in My Bedroom. You can find it at protodome.bandcamp.com. We love that guy. We love that song. Thank you to Amy. She did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
I went through my kink drawer and I found the belt that was, like, that I'm gonna probably talk about a lot on this show, but I was like, I forgot that I still had that.
I definitely thought you said you were going through your cake drawer, and I was like, what? You have a secret cake drawer that you have never shown me.
It's like a bread box. You have a cake drawer, you know.
How have you not included me in this part of your life? You understand how important this is to me, Kate.
Yeah. I mean, if you bring me a cake, I'll happily put it in a drawer. But then okay. I'll eat it secretly also.
Okay. I'll bring you a piece of the apple pecan spice cake, I think, that I'm gonna make. Yeah.
Okay. Seems good.
Yeah.
That's like classic housewarming. You bring somebody a cake for their cake drawer. Obviously. Step one of a new apartment. Okay, I need to think of how I'm going to start this.
I usually go with welcome to the Dildorks.
I know. I need the third thing that I say.
Oh. I did forget that we do that every time.
Yeah, I'm not just trying to come up with a new greeting. Would never. I enjoy routines. I'm a Taurus.
Same. What are we doing? Fetish objects?
Yeah.
Okay.
I sent you the questions.
Uh-huh. I read them.
Okay. Good.
I didn't retain them, but I read them.
Okay. Well, time well spent.
I literally was like, I have to read these really fast so I could get on Skype and record the podcast.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Realizing now. I literally was like, shit, I don't have time to prep for my podcast because I have to go record a podcast. Like, that was what was in my soul at the time. Okay, that's fine. I should smoke less weed.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, okay, here's a question. Do I want to do another feet thing, or should I veer away?